Wow, it is absolutely spectacular out there right now. Holy cow. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt, Brett in today. It is, you know, people ask why you go through the winters here and stuff like that and the rough weather. I mean, I would make an argument fall is absolutely beautiful in Minnesota, especially October. It is a very pretty month here. But this, when you get into these days where it's 80 degrees, it's beautiful sunshine, things are blossoming. It is beautiful. Have you been able to get outside? You got your bike here. I mean, a perfect day for a bike, although it might get a little hot.
Yeah, exactly. What I heard, too, just looking actually at the Star Tribune, with these wildfires from Canada, we're supposed to get some spectacular sunsets tonight.
Is that what it is? Because this morning I noticed we were having, that's kind of like a 1980s post-apocalyptic sunrise there, isn't it? And it's sun. How bad are the fires in Canada right now?
I didn't know we had any until I just read that, but they said we're supposed to get some great colors during the sunset tonight.
That's good. Hey, Canada, if you do all your misery of basically your western province is burning to a crisp, guess what? We get a nice sunset. So thank you. Thank you for burning yourselves. They're saying, the sunset's tonight, tomorrow. And, they're supposed to be lovely. 82 today, 87. We're going to have the AC on tomorrow. By the way, it is a little moist in the studio right now. Can I just make that point?
Oh, you'll survive.
Oh, for God's sakes.
We see you dripping like an Avion bottle in there by the end of the show.
It wasn't. A few years back, we did a show. It must have been 97 degrees in the studio. It was like doing a show in a sauna. It was a hoot.
Lucky we didn't have Facebook Live back then.
Oh, that would have been for your pleasure, ladies. There you go. Sweaty Matt in the morning. No, it's 87 tomorrow, but then, still 73 Saturday, 72 on Sunday, but beautiful sunny skies. And 73 on Monday. So we're kind of in a nice little stretch here. And it doesn't look like we're going to get below 70 again, at least till Wednesday. So, good stuff. I'll take it. This is when it starts getting nice. And I just do not want it to do like a few years ago. Do you remember a few years back, what, 6-7 years ago, where it didn't rain for like 2 months? And what made me think about this is we drove past a soccer field that was off of, was it 82nd Street and France Avenue. There's a school back there. And we drove past that field. And I remember being back at that field when my kids were playing soccer. It was like playing in a field in Texas. It was all burnt and dead. And you didn't think any of the grass was going to survive. And that's what I'm just hoping. It's like now that we've had torrential rain after torrential rain after torrential rain, now is it going to be one of those situations where we get nothing now for the next, nothing till mid-August and everything is dying again. So hopefully not. I did get on, I will say this little, my gardening, talk here. My irises popped very quickly and were not showing any sign of coming up. I'd say 2 days ago, and now they are up and they're starting to really pop there. I'm very happy. Usually you don't get the irises coming up like that. I might have to get out to the Arboretum. If you've not been out to the Arboretum, they've got an amazing collection of irises, which are very pretty. And yes, I do like gardening. I do like working in the soil. I do like that sort of thing. And if you get the chance, head on over. And see there, because I got if mine and my garden are coming up now. I'll get some posts. I took some nice pictures of got columbine coming in. Rhubarb is looking really good. As a matter of fact, I'm making a strawberry rhubarb pie this weekend. I'm going to do that. And, got all my dahlias are starting to come out of the ground. So I'm doing okay. We had the cool. Now we're getting into some nice weather. I'll take that. 952-946-6205. Hey, I wanted to recap, something, just revisit two things about the discussion we had about the North Star commuter line and Nick Zerwas's, the representative's comments about being empty fields at all these stations. Now, if you didn't hear, what had happened was during the debate on the transportation bill, I think this was in the special session, Zerwas was out there. He made this. There's $650,000 that had been dedicated to explore the expansion of the North Star commuter layout from Big Lake to St. Cloud. Once again, the reason why it ends at Big Lake was the Republicans couldn't stop it, but they decided to try to end it at Big Lake because they knew that if it went to nowhere, which at that point Big Lake was kind of nowhere, basically they could argue there's nowhere to Big Lake, coming on down, that sort of thing. And so, you know, and there has been some criticism of the line because of that. The reality is every – St. Cloud is not exactly a liberal place, and pretty much all the business owners up there want the North Star commuter line to come in all the way up to St. Cloud. So, you know, it's – I think that it's – at this point, it's the cat's out of the bag. It's got to get done. But Nick Zerwas took to the House floor and made an impassioned speech about never giving money to this. This is a bad idea. And two things I wanted to clarify. One thing – or not clarify, just a follow-up on. First, the first follow-up on, he made a comment that he initially was talking about riders from Big Lake, and to subsidize their ride would basically be – it costs us so much money to subsidize every ride from Big Lake to the center of Minneapolis. We might as well just buy each one of those people. Well, he didn't – okay. He said that we have to subsidize all the rides from Big Lake. Okay, he said that. We subsidize all these rides from Big Lake. But then he made the comment that we would be more cost-effective to give all the North Star commuter rail people a Lexus every year, then destroy said Lexus at the end of the year, and give them a brand new Lexus. And I don't think that math doesn't add up to me. Lexus is a pretty pricey car, Brett, the last time I checked. It's in the six-figure range. I can't comprehend that would be cost effective. But I tried to find his numbers. I could not. What I think he did, and I can't say for sure, what I think he did is he took the subsidized cost for a Big Lake rider and presumed that no other riders got on the train at all from Big Lake to the heart of Minneapolis. So basically, the scattering of riders in Big Lake were the only people that were on the train, and henceforth, that was where he was getting the number. I kind of got that impression. I can't say for sure, but that's like the only one that even comes close to the number he was quoting, which is disingenuous. But I mean, that's kind of, you know, when you talk about Republicans and arguing money, that's generally the disingenuous activity to it, because it's not a, you know, a legit number. Because I mean, of course there are people that get on at Ramsey and get on at Anoka and get on at Elk River and get on at Coon Rapids and get on at Fridley, taking the line into Minneapolis. Of course there are tons of people that use that line, and every time someone gets on, it gets less expensive for everyone else on the line. So I mean, it's overall, I mean, that's the kind of the concept of mass transportation. And I'll just kind of skip past the idea of giving a few thousand people a car and thinking that our roads are going to somehow survive the extra traffic you're about to put on US 10, 169, 94, 252. Yeah, good luck. I can tell you right now, you think you've got bad traffic jams now. Just take a few thousand extra cars and just plop them into any morning and afternoon commute. Yeah, it will take you 3 hours to get home every day. It'd be like trying to drive to Trenton, New Jersey from the heart of New York City every single day. Good luck with that. That being said, so I can't find it. I mean, I'll keep looking for this number. But there was one other thing that Zerwas said, and he said this quite a bit. He talked about the development around the train stations. And his big comment was, empty fields! You know, he kind of kept saying that around Big Lake, there was empty fields around the train station. And around Elk River, there was empty fields. And then he said, oh, there's a parking lot. And then there's one empty building, and it's empty fields. So, I mean, I'm actually going to follow up on this, because this was the whole point of us bringing it up yesterday. Him calling that there was no development in Coon Rapids was a shock to the people of Coon Rapids, including Zach Stevenson, the representative from Coon Rapids, who quickly posted a picture of the Coon Rapids North Star commuter rail station with construction right behind it, of a 300-unit building getting built that's being built because of the North Star commuter line being right there. So he wasn't being factually accurate in any capacity when he was saying that there's been no development around these stations. Or as Representative Stevenson just said, maybe he just missed them. They were hiding behind all those big construction cranes. He just didn't see the building. Maybe that's what the case would be. But what I did yesterday, last night, was I went up on Google Earth, going to Google Maps, right? And I just pulled up pictures of these light rail stations. And I'll start in Big Lake, because I don't quite understand what he's talking about with no development. I've got the pictures are up on Twitter and Facebook right now. And you can see the Big Lake station there. You got the Cargill Animal Nutrition Building right across the street from it. got Casey's General Store, Big Lake Veterinary Hospital. You got CG Auto Body, Big Lake Public Works Department. Looks like the crossing at Big Lake Station. That looks like it might be a residential area. I can't say for sure. I'm just looking at the top of a map. But there's Cherrywood Advanced Living. Cherrywood Advanced Living in Big Lake. Once again, you have, it looks like that might be senior living. That's right down the street from this train station. You have, you know, a church. You've got some restaurants. You got some business. I mean, all within what looks to be less than a quarter mile from the train station. So when he's talking about empty fields, I'm guessing he's talking about in one very specific direction. And so what he's really saying is, there's empty fields, but don't turn your head. Don't just look. No looking left or right. Just straight ahead at that one field I've told you to look at, because that's the one empty field. And it's not just that train station either. I mean, if you go to the other train stations, Coon Rapids, my God, just north of the Coon Rapids station, there's a Home Depot, there's a Target, Five Guys, Riverdale Commons, TGI Fridays, Costco, Caribou Coffee, White Castle. My goodness. You got also there's a Popeye's chicken right there, for goodness sake. That is less than a quarter mile away from the station. And the entire rest of the station is surrounded by complete development. I mean, it's neighborhoods. So I don't know what non-development he's talking there. Plus, once again, you have Representative Stevenson pointing out that there's also already brand new construction. Once again, these Google Maps are not exactly up to date. But still, by looking at these maps and looking at the train stations, there's still plenty of development around it. The Anoka station, there's the Anoka Public Works building. There's the Citywide Window Service. I mean, it's a little weak there. You got the Tornado Factory. They got Lakeland Trail and injured. I can't read that. There's a private business there. It doesn't look like there's a lot, but this is looking right around the train station. There's housing developments and stuff like that. Beverly Apartments, stuff like that. So I mean, it's Andy's Service. There's retail. There's business. There are things there. You look at the Ramsey Station. The residents at COR apartment homes. Well, that would seem like development. Wouldn't that just seem like development to you? It sounds like an apartment complex that is built right across the street from the Ramsey's train station. So there seems to be development there. There's the Anoka County licenses there. There's the fountains. The fountains at Ramsey, you know, I'm getting the impression that might be another housing building. Corburn's, there's a North Star Marketplace. There's development there. And then finally in Elk River, you know, you got the train station. You got the Pullman Place Senior Living. As a matter of fact, you got just to the east of the train station, you got a huge development over there. And then just right off to the west is 169. You got tons of development there. And I don't know how in the world you can say, well, the development's there, but that's not development for the train. All you have to think about with the train is empty fields. So maybe what we have to do is take up Nick Zerwas on his offer of riding the Big Lake train with him, the North Star line from Big Lake. How many of us could get up there? And Nick can give us this tour of the empty fields, he say, just that are the only things that are there. I mean, he's offered to give us a ride. Or, you know, I don't think he's offered to give us a ride. He's offered to show us these empty fields. Get on the train. You won't need a ticket, he said. And we can just take the train down, stop at all the stations, and he can point out all the empty fields that we can't see because Google Maps apparently has fraudulently put up development around these train stations. How dare they? How dare they?
I think he would at least pay for our Popeyes and White Castle.
That doesn't exist, man. Oh. That doesn't exist. That development is not really there, man. It's not really there. Oh, why am I sounding like Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse Now? He's everything. He's a genius. He's a mind. No, I'm not going to talk about Kurtz. No, I don't know what he's looking at. That there's no development around these. I mean, are there some open fields? Yeah, but there's a heck of a lot of development around each one of these train stations. And the question is this, would the development that's there happen if that train line wasn't there? Because your argument is it's not enough. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, boy, it's inadequate development because of the train station. Well, then if the train station was there, are you saying that the development, which we can see with our own eyes on Google Maps, would still be there? Because I can't believe like apartment complexes would be building themselves right next to a train station if the train station didn't exist. You know what I mean? I just don't buy that. And so, I mean, and you know, are you saying that the train has stopped development in your community because I can't believe that either. I don't know. I mean, like I said, this is his argument was empty fields. I'm looking at Google Maps. I don't see empty fields. I see a lot of businesses. And you can go to my Twitter feed. I've posted all, I just took screen captures of all of them. And you can find the train station in each one of them, and you can look around and see the businesses around it. I just don't know what the heck he's talking about.
You could also look at Google Earth, I think, is separate from Google Maps, where you can historically look at some of the satellite photos from a few years ago.
That's a great idea. And you know what? I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to go up there and take, you know, like 10 years ago. I think they give you 10 years ago. I'll look at 10 years ago. That'd be before the North Star line. And we'll see the development there. And then we'll put this, compare, and we'll get the two images together. And we'll see if, you know, if there hasn't been any development. But, you know, needless to say, this argument that there are empty fields, that's a boondoggle. I mean, if I can quote, borrow a Minnesota politician word, it's a boondoggle, because I'm looking at the Google Maps images of all these train stations, and there definitely does seem to be development around all of them. Now, was it all because of the train station? Probably not, but at the same time, it's not empty fields in every direction, as Nick Zerwas clearly was implying with his comments about empty fields. Empty fields! There's nothing there! There's something there. There definitely is something there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll take Steve's call when I do return, and I'll get into clearly the Republicans are already feeling heat about the insulin bill. I'll explain why in just a second. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your all-energy solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Steve in Minneapolis wanted to chime in this afternoon. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, so St. Cloud, I think, in my opinion, that the reason that the business leaders there want the extension is because they need to keep labor costs down. A little history. When I was a kid growing up there in the 60s and 70s, you had the granite industry was huge.
Yeah.
You had Finger Hut. You had, most importantly, the railroad repair shop was there. It was huge. And those are all solid blue-collar jobs. That's all since gone away.
Yep.
And now it's like the home of low wages. I have a niece that still lives there. She's 30 years old. She probably changes jobs every 9 months because people will swap jobs for 50 cents an hour. So I think the reason they want to bring that line in is they're hoping to get more people to solve their labor problem.
Well, but I'd say that's going to be a two-way street because, I mean, if the labor jobs are that bad, then you just have to jump on a train. You can maybe go up to the Northwest Metro and find a better job there that pays better. There's that option. But as well, I will actually – I see, and now, Steve, and I'm not discounting what you're saying, but I also say I think the biggest reason they want it is because they can jump on a train in St. Cloud, take it to a light rail station in Minneapolis, and then jump on a light rail and take it to the airport. They can basically get to Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport without ever driving, which, you know, that's a real godsend, I think. I think for a lot of people up there – and that's something which, even though that'd be a long trek via train and light rail – it still is something that appeals to business because businesses that are looking to develop or looking to develop a region are looking for alternative than not just roads. They want alternative transportation options. So that gives it to them. So I think that's part of the reason as well.
Yeah, but you know they have services there, Executive Express, for example. That you can get a ride to the airport for, I don't know, $30 or something.
Well, and I think that, you know, and Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Okay. I think when you look at the whole thing, Wisconsin had the same thing. I mean, they all got upset in Hudson because you're raising your minimum wage over in Minnesota. You guys, well, it's not our problem. It's not our problem to lower our wages to your standards. I mean, that's not our problem. And I can understand, you know, that your argument there that, you know, this might be able to get cheaper labor in. The reality is that it might actually cause the opposite to happen, is the fact that people say, okay, I can actually take a North Star line down to Elk River or to Coon Rapids and work a job down there that pays me $4 an hour more than it pays up here. And so I'm going to go do that because I can make more money doing that and taking the train each day as opposed to staying up in St. Cloud. So it might actually encourage the people in St. Cloud to start raising wages. So we'll have to see what happens there. Mike is in Columbia Heights. He wanted to chime in on this as well. Welcome on in, Mike.
Hey, Matt. You know, Toad Boy should have nothing to complain about as far as the light rail goes. It was his party that dug their cleats into the turf and would not appropriate enough money to run the thing all the way up to St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Where the college students could use it, people visiting people in like the VA, they could take a load off the VA down here by going up to St. Cloud. Instead, they stopped at a mile short of Big Lake. My wife and I went up there. We thought, well, we've never been up there. Let's take the train. We'll have lunch at Big Lake. We get up there. The guy, I says, isn't there a restaurant or something? He says, yeah, Big Lake. Well, how far away is Big Lake? About a mile and a half. You know, it was his party that did it, and now he's complaining about
Toad
Boy.
Well, and Matt McNeil does not encourage the use of the word Toad Boy. Mike in Columbia Heights, thank you very much. Here's what I will say about that. They're terrified of it going. I mean, okay, let's go back in history. I was working at Metro Traffic at the time that the Hiawatha line was built. And reminder, this has been the Republican standard. Empty trains. Go watch Tim Pawlenty at that point was in the House, I believe it was. And all these Republicans screaming about boondoggles and all these things about the light rail line getting built. And they basically had insane egg on their face. I mean, the Hiawatha line has been wildly successful. Those trains are generally packed all day, every day. And then came the Minneapolis-St. Paul line. The university line. And you guys, once again, it's empty trains. I mean, it got to a point where Joe Suchere says at 4 in the morning, trains are empty. Yeah, it's 4 in the morning, man. You know, is that you're going to be your gauge of success? How many people are at it at 4 in the morning or something like that? I mean, it was just insane. But once again, Republicans screamed, empty trains! And basically, you know, they've been proven wrong again. And the thing which is funny is, as opposed to admit, it's like, you know what? I guess we were wrong. People want mass transit. We should do it. they have dug their heels in. They have insisted, oh, this is wrong. They know that if they get that line to St. Cloud, that it's going to be wildly popular. And then they're going to have to sit there and say, well, I was for this the entire time anyway. This is why they were against the Southwest Light Rail line. Because they know that once all of a sudden Eden Prairie and Minnetonka get a little taste of being able to jump on a light rail line and take it into Minneapolis, all of a sudden Woodbury's going to want one. And all of a sudden Maple Grove's going to want one. And maybe Wayzata's going to want one. And then all of a sudden they're going to sit there and tell these people that generally give their campaigns money why they're against them. Now, they work. And by the way, once again, there is an amazingly short-sighted nature to the concept of we just give them cars. Our roads are already packed to the freaking gills with cars. You thinking you can throw a few thousand more people in a vehicle and it somehow is going to make traffic better? That's insanely stupid. And I can say that as a person who looked at metro traffic maps for many years. Traffic reporting was something I did for a while, and I learned a lot about it. If you think you can just drive your way out of this or pave new roads, it's insane. I mean, we subsidize all forms of transportation. Roads don't just magically disappear. We have to pave them. We have to road them. We take care of them. We subsidize roads. We subsidize, you know, the bike trails. We subsidize hiking trails. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to find that article once again. This is an article I have posted so many times, it's not even funny. There's an article in MinnPost years ago where the woman went out and tried to figure out what is the most cost-effective way to transport people, factoring in that we subsidize all forms of transportation. And she came back with light rail is the best. Light rail and mass transit is by far the most cost-effective way to do it, and it's more cost-effective than paving roads. So there you go. I'll post that article once again a little bit later on because it is a great article. 952-946-6205. I will talk about the insulin thing because I'll tell you what, the Republicans clearly are getting an earful about their denying poor diabetics emergency insulin. They clearly are getting an earful about it. We'll talk about that when I return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Being a dog is awesome. Except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, another special session from Minnesota's divided government, a new London ski team celebrates 40 years together, and Golden Gopher head football coach PJ Fleck. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 81. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Friday, sunny with a high around 86. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 73.
Spring is here, and it's time for Standard Heating and Air Conditioning Spring Fever Sale, where you can save $1,700 or more on a new furnace and AC combo throughout May. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and AC, comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Do we have a score on the Gopher softball? See if you can dig that up. The Gopher softball is taking on UCLA in the first round of the NCAA championship NCAA Division I championship softball tournament down in Oklahoma City.
2-0 UCLA.
2-0 UCLA. UCLA is a good team. Hey, no, this is not about, you know, they should be happy to be there. They're a good team. And as a matter of fact, they are a popular underdog pick. They're the seven seed out of the eight teams that are there. They're a popular underdog pick to possibly go all the way here. But, you know, I believe it's a one and done game right now. So they have to win at this point. So we'll have to see. We'll check in on that before we get to the end of the show here. By the way, should reminder, all the restaurants we're featuring with the short week, we're featuring all the restaurants with eatlocalminnesota.com. Go get a great meal. Many of them are locally sourced. You get a great local meal and the money stays local. It is local businesses. It is eatlocalminnesota.com. Go check that out tonight. So there clearly has been some very pointed feedback to the Republicans who voted against the insulin bill, the emergency insulin bill. Once again, this was a bill that at one point was a very, you know, popular, both sides wanted this, an emergency fund for insulin for poor diabetics because insulin prices have skyrocketed and that basically a lot of poor people can't afford it. And when it gets down to your either afford food or your heat or your rent or your medicine, and you got these are the options you have, people are going without and they're dying. So what the state said is, as opposed to have Minnesotans die because they can't afford the medication that will save them, we'll actually stockpile a little bit of the medication and give that to people who are in a need situation. It's a very good idea. It is basically the least we can do as humans in this day and age. The Republicans, the Democrats, you know, when they came to the negotiations at the special session, the Democrats went in thinking, okay, this is a no-brainer, this is going to be in the bill. The Republicans went, they didn't put it in their notes. Hurry, pass the bill. And so there was a dishonest nature initially by the Republicans who said that they're not going to pass this bill. But for everyone out there, at the special session, what had happened was they introduced the amendment to put this emergency insulin fund into place. And it failed on a party line vote in the Senate, pretty much a party line vote, 34-33. That the Senate killed it. And then they told the House, if you add it, we will veto the entire Health and Human Services bill and it won't pass. The Republicans are the sole reason the Emergency Insulin Act did not pass. Because regardless of what happened, there came a time to fish or cut bait, and they decided to let diabetics who are poor die. That is the decision that they made. They were going to amend the bill, they voted it down, and threatened that they would veto the entire Health and Human Services bill if they added it in the House. That is not the Democrats' fault. That was the Republicans who did this. And clearly the Republicans are getting an earful because they can't get to enough media right now saying, well, we were upset about the language and the bill, and they were rushing us, and they are making 1,000 excuses. And the media is doing their bidding because the media is kind of going, gee willikers, why did it die? It died because the Republicans voted it down in the special session to amend the bill. That is the point right there. The Senate Republicans said, nope, we want poor diabetics to die. That's what they said. And then they said if the House basically has any compassion whatsoever for these people, that they will destroy the entire Health and Human Services bill. That's what they did. This is not a mystery of who said, you know, he said, she said. No, this is the Republicans killed this. And they probably killed a few Minnesotans because they will not have diabetic insulin available to them because they're poor. I have zero doubt that, considering how frantic the Republicans are right now, and they are frantic at trying to basically cover their cabooses in the regards to this bill, I guarantee you that the first bill passed probably in the House and Senate in 2020 will be an emergency insulin fund, and they'll get it off the plate and say, aren't we great? Because they must be getting hammered in their own districts on this. Because that's the only reason I can think that they're all scrambling to say, you know, it was, don't blame us. And that's what the Republicans are. The reality is, Democrats, you need to blame them. And especially if anyone dies between now and the time that bill eventually gets passed, who's a poor diabetic who could not afford insulin, who died needlessly because the Republicans decided to get rid of the one thing that could have helped them, well, then they have to hold that death on their shoulders. That is their responsibility, and you have to hammer them on that, because these people should not have to die for these people to find their freaking conscience, especially these people that claim to be Christians, for God's sakes. They claim to be Christians because, you know what? That was Jesus saying, sucker, you can't have the medication you need. Sorry, Lazarus, you're dead. That was Jesus in their book. They're horrible people. Do not allow them to rewrite history. Like there was some sort of, well, there was just a misunderstanding. No, they had the chance to put the Emergency Insulin Act into the bill under the verbiage that they knew. They voted it down. This is on the Republicans. And if anyone dies, it's on the Republicans as well. Jeff is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on this. Welcome on in, Jeff. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thank you very much, Matt. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think the Republicans have become a heartless, soulless, empty shell of humanity. And I deal with a lot of Republicans, and their basic thing is, I don't want my tax dollars going to the needy. And my response is I gladly pay my taxes, and I'm glad it's going to help the less fortunate, because that's what a civilized society does, unless you want to become a third world country. And to let people die for lack of insulin and to then go to church and say you're a Christian is just blasphemy to me. And they all call me, well, you're just a liberal. Well, I'm proud to be a liberal because I believe our fellow men deserve better, and I will pay my taxes. And it goes back to the roads that you were just talking about. Well, I use the light rail. And if people, you know, like out in the western suburbs, don't want mass transportation, well, go ahead and pour that concrete, baby, because guess what? After a brutal winter that we had last year, you're going to pay for massive road repairs. And that's my two cents, Matt.
Well, and Jeff, thank you very much. No, the reality is, first of all, if these people are that cold and heartless, if they're that cold and heartless, they look at you and say, I don't want my tax dollars going to save a human being's life. Just say to them, are you Christian? And they say, yeah. Then you look at them square in the face and say, you suck at being Christian. You suck at being Christian. You're a horrible Christian. No, I just, Jesus and Timothy are in the Exodus, in one of the Gospels. There's a psalm that tells me I'm okay doing this. No, there's not. There is nothing in that Bible that tells you that's okay to do this, for God's sakes. And you're okay with your tax dollars going to wealthy billionaires? Let me get this right. You, as a dupe, you think it's okay that your money goes to millionaires and billionaires, but God forbid a poor person needs insulin because that's the line in the sand that you're drawing. Okay. Trust me, I've had that argument before. And they're broken people because they don't even understand. And then when all of a sudden there's a program that they like, a social safety net program or something like that, or God forbid something bad happens to them, they're the first ones out saying, why isn't there something for me? So we used to have it, but the Republicans got rid of it. You know, because you're one of those people that's mooching off their tax dollars. It's like, well, I didn't know. It's unfortunate for these people that they have to get to the point of losing everything before they realize how wrong they have been. But that's, for a lot of these people, that's it. That's it. And let's just go down the latest path on this. China has halted all purchases of American soybeans in another move in the escalated trade war with the U.S. According to Bloomberg Report, Chinese buyers have stopped ordering and won't expect to resume the purchase due to the disagreement between the world's two largest economies. The Bloomberg Report says, citing people familiar with the matter, they said that China certainly has no plans to cancel previous orders, though, but they're not ordering anything new. U.S. soybean farmers have taken a hard hit from the trade tensions. The value of soybean exports to China fell 74% to $31.1 billion in 2018 from about $12.2 billion the previous year. I want to repeat these two numbers because remember, trade wars are easy. That's what Trump said. Trade wars are easy. Because of Trump's meddling, the soybean market lost or went from $12.2 billion in 1 year down to $3.1 billion. That's $9 billion in loss. Billion, billion dollars in loss in one sector. Wow. The Trump administration announced last week a $16 billion trade program for American farmers impacted by the retaliatory tariffs. By the way, they've already determined that a lot of that money is just going to go to large corporate farms, and some of them owned by foreign companies. Soybean futures tanked on the lowest since 2009 on May 13th as trade war heated up. The latest move from China followed a slew of tit-for-tat tactics between the two countries. China has threatened to cut off its rare earth mineral supply to the U.S., a crucial material for tech supply chain, after President Trump blacklisted Chinese telecom giant Huawei. The U.S. Defense Department now is looking to reduce the country's reliance on Chinese rare earth materials. Now, that is a bad thing for us here in Minnesota for a very simple reason. There's a lot of people that think there's a lot of rare earth minerals up underneath the boundary waters. And the reality is that you're not going to stop these people. The Republicans in this state will gladly sell off the boundary waters, gladly, gladly, in a heartbeat if they're told to. And the Republicans in the House and the Senate, heck, some Democrats, including Colin Peterson, will probably go gleefully along with it to rip up our natural treasure in the Boundary Waters Canoe area. And it's not just here. There's speculation. There's a lot of precious minerals in some of these other national parks too. So in the quest for these metals, because reminder, in the same way that the oil industry will not change their practices until every freaking drop of oil is out of the ground, then they'll talk about renewable energies. The same way goes for these precious metals. They will not think about alternatives until they have ripped every precious metal out of the earth they possibly can. And they will leave along a toxic sludge pit behind and shrug their shoulders saying, it's what you need to do. So we should be very concerned about the precious metals, because it's only a matter of time before someone starts saying, hey, maybe we don't need the Boundary Waters Canoe area anymore. And they start ripping it up. And I guarantee you that's going to happen. Both sides slapped tariffs on billions of dollars worth of each other's goods earlier this year. The tariffs of $60 billion on U.S. goods and retaliation, the higher duties on $200 billion worth of Chinese products will kick in June 1st. Stock market has been in turmoil with the heightened trade tension. Soybean markets are shot. They're not going to come back. They're not going to come back. And it should be noted that, once again, precious metals and soybeans aside, which are both going to hurt the U.S. dramatically, there still is the problem of the Chinese having our debt. And they can mess with our economy at will at this point. And we can only ask them, pretty please don't do it. And it seems like the Chinese are definitely at their wits' end with Trump. And so if you're a soybean farmer and you just lost 78% of the value of your crops, good call on voting for Trump, because without him, you'd still be making money. Now, at least you don't have to live on the farm anymore. You can find some condo in city or someplace. Maybe you can have a few potted plants to make you remind you of home. Thanks to Donald Trump and his easy-to-win trade war. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Crooners Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooners combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. Our theme this week is yearning for change. I'll highlight hashtag never again, the political movement started by the Parkland, Florida students following the Valentine's Day 2018 mass shooting at their school. Then we'll speak to a true idealist, Robin Wolpert, a Minneapolis lawyer working for those whom society leaves behind. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The entire buying experience with Rudy Luther Toyota is so worthwhile. Every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years of free maintenance with every new Toyota purchased. Their super staff is wonderful, always ready to help. And there's the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Head on over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
No one beats Warner Stellion. No one. Our passion is earning your business, and we've guaranteed appliance savings for nearly 70 years. But the Warners know there's more to it than just offering the lowest price. So we've hired and we've trained the very best people to make every step of your appliance buying experience simple and fun. Now through June 3rd, Warner Stellion will save you even more with exclusive in-store specials. Go to WarnerStellion.com or come on in for full details. Choose Minnesota's own Warner Stellion.
You know me as the carpet connoisseur of AM 950. At home, I have a whole zoo. 7 parakeets, 3 guinea pigs, and a chihuahua. Understand now why I'm such a big fan of Zero Res? They get rid of every splotch, every stain, every accident for my little critters. Before Zero Res, I used to move furniture to cover up my spots. Now my carpet is spectacular. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Boy, proud days for the Republicans denying poor diabetics insulin, wiping out the soybean markets. Wow. And Lisa is out there making the comment on the Facebook feed. You can watch the show on Facebook. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook and watch the show if you so desire. And she made the point, they'll probably still vote for them. Of course they will. Republicans today could walk in on Donald Trump having relations with their spouse, and the first words out of their mouth will be, damn Democrats. That is just who these people are. That's just who these people are. I mean, it's, you know, it's the amount of people that have been denied – you know, natural disaster emergency relief funds strictly due to Republicans hasn't even shaken their – oh, they'll still vote for the R. the unnecessary damage they've done. And by the way, the ag sector is already reeling. In Minnesota, the fields are too wet to plant. You have natural disasters that have caused all sorts of problems out there. It is a mess out there. And now all of a sudden, and by the way, if you can actually get into your fields and you can actually plant crops and we can actually get you some natural disaster relief funds, good news for you. You have no markets left for the product that you're growing. Yeah. Trump, I want to mention, I could mention that the whole thing with him admitting that Russia helped him win today. I don't know if you caught this tweet. He was only up for a few seconds, but it got caught. I mean, people watched that Twitter feed. He made the comment that I had nothing to do with Russia helping me win the election, which I said, well, that seems like an admission. You know, quickly his handlers deleted those tweets, but not before someone saved them for posterity. Thank you. I could talk about that. I could talk about the fact that this little snowflake of a man has this little petulant man child of a president. He basically made them either move. They were going to have to either move the USS John McCain out of port while he visited Japan, or they had to cover up the name John McCain on the ship because Trump hates McCain so much. That, talk about petty. Talk about petty. But I actually want to finish the show by talking about something which is terrifying, but it doesn't get any coverage. And that is Trump's decision that he wants to pardon war criminals, people who have killed children, people who have murdered, you know, people, in, you know, foreigners in foreign countries who are not guilty of a crime, but they just murdered them. You know, you've got Blackwater people who opened fire into crowds into streets. I mean, you have real psychopaths, crazy people who have committed undeniable, atrocious crimes against humanity, who were not tried in the liberal court with Judge Al Gore and Judge Rosie O'Donnell. No, they were tried in military court under military rules, and they were given a defense, and there was no defense for these guys because they committed war crimes. And there is an unwritten rule in this stuff that you do not allow people who are caught red-handed guilty of war crimes off the hook. And Trump, because he has people who are around him who are screaming, these people just killed Muslims, and let's just call it what it is, they just killed Muslims. So they're not that bad. They should not be going to jail for the rest of their lives. And he's in the process of likely pardoning multiple people guilty of war crimes. A long time ago, I think really back when we started this show, I started working here in 2010, 2011, we talked about torture. And we talked about why you do not allow torture and why I was so angry at the Democrats back then because they never held and I think we were actually talking in the aftermath of the 2010 election of why the Democrats lost so many seats. And I said, I think part of the reason why is because you never held the Bush administration responsible for the torture that they did. And I said back then, I said, the problem that you have is you are fighting an enemy that can out-sick us any day. Any day. They can out-sick us any day. And so you think that there's rules to torture. No. That soldier that we got left behind on the battlefield down in Niger, he was tortured to death in a very harsh manner. It was not pleasant. And the reason why is that we ourselves, who were supposed to be the shining city on the hill, we ourselves got dirty when we decided to allow to torture people. And the rest of the world says, well, if you're going to torture them, we can torture them too. And once again, they can out-sick us any day of the week. Well, the same thing goes for war criminals. You're expecting other countries to prosecute war criminals when the United States basically says, you know what? Yeah, you killed a kid. You gunned a kid down in cold blood, but they were Muslim. You've been in jail for a few days. So you know what? We're going to let you go. You think that anyone else is going to start holding their war criminals accountable? And whereas it might not affect us here in the United States directly, although Trump does have a year and a half left for us to get into either another civil war or to get invaded, the reality is that where this is going to hurt us is in places like Syria, where our allies there are not necessarily our other allies' allies. And so we end up having people that are getting slaughtered that are our allies, and there's no consequences for the group of people that did it. So if he does do this, the international message that will be sent was that we are now torturing people and we will never hold our people who have murdered innocent civilians accountable. It is a sad day in America indeed. Doug Padgett up next. We're back tomorrow.